In keeping with our summer series, I'm going to share with you one character trait found in the life of Timothy, and then I'm going to close with one self-assessment question. The trait is called running the race or fighting the good fight. And if I could say it another way, it's being all in, surrendered to the Lord for his glory and his purposes, whatever that may be. Being all in, running the race, fighting the good fight. This trait's found in Timothy, it's found in other biblical figures, and it's a trait that has challenged me and encouraged me through the decades. And a little bit about Timothy. He grows up in a town called Lystra, in modern-day Turkey, or Turkey-A, as they say now, grows up in Lystra, and Paul's first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas head to Turkey, and they go to Lystra, and they preach the gospel in Lystra. And many believe it's at this time that Timothy comes to faith, that he accepts the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he's probably a older teenager at the time. And something else happens while Paul is at Lystra on his first trip. Jews from a couple other towns come over, grab Paul. They don't like him preaching the gospel. They stone Paul, and he is thought to be dead. And here's the scripture verse. This is the Acts 14. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they come to Lystra. And having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And he continues preaching the gospel in Derbe and beyond. There's a good chance that Timothy is one of these disciples gathered around, and he sees Paul just stoned, thought to be dead. Paul gets up and continues running the race, continues fighting the good fight. If he didn't witness it, he certainly heard about it. A few years later, in Acts chapter 16, Paul goes on his second missionary journey, and he takes Silas with him. So Paul and Silas are going, and they go back to Lystra. They go back to Turkey to check up on folks on their way to Greece. They go back to the town of Lystra. They see Timothy. Paul invites Timothy, join us. Timothy joins Paul and Silas, and then they head off. And Timothy, as he joins Paul, experiences many people coming to Christ, and he also experiences great opposition to the gospel. They leave Turkey, they go into Greece, they go to Philippi. You know the story at Philippi. This is Acts chapter 16. They go into Philippi. Paul and Silas get beaten and thrown into jail. Timothy's right there. Probably wasn't one who was beaten and thrown into jail. We don't know, but probably not. But he's right there. Paul and Silas get beaten and thrown into jail. You know the story. There's an earthquake. They're praising the Lord. There's an earthquake. They're praising the Lord in jail. At midnight, an earthquake. The door is open. Jailer's about to take his life. Paul says, stop. We're still here. Jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Him and his whole family come to Christ. Timothy's part of this group. They leave Philippi. They go to Thessalonica in Greece. And there, Paul preaching the gospel. And the Jews are angry. And there's a mob that attacked the house where Paul and Silas and probably Timothy are staying. They attack the house and they don't see him. They can't find him in the house. So the believers in Thessalonica, they take Paul and Silas, and probably Timothy, Paul and Silas, and they send them away at night. Then they go off to Berea in Acts chapter 17. And there, more opposition. So Timothy, with Paul and with Silas, experiences continual opposition, hardships, and I'm guessing a lot of disappointments. And they keep running the race. They keep fighting the good fight. They keep staying all in, surrendered to the Lord. They keep persevering. Timothy joins Paul for his third missionary journey. And then after his third missionary journey, Timothy pastors the church in Ephesus. And one more thing about Timothy. Timothy is prone to fear and timidity. And that's by way of inference from things we see in Scripture. He's prone to fear. He delivers the letter to Tim. Paul writes a letter to Corinthians. Timothy delivers it. And this is what Paul says in the letter to the Corinthian believers. Hey, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you. For he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. And then when Timothy's pastoring the church in Ephesus, Paul writes to him in 1 Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, because you're a young guy. And then Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, he's still pastoring the church there in Ephesus. He says, Timothy, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And Paul encourages Timothy over and over again. Timothy, keep running the race. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep surrendered. Keep staying all in with the Lord. This is what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command and keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. And then in chapter 6, he says, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And then he says this in 2 Timothy. Timothy, fan into flames the gift of God that's in you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan it into flames. Get that thing burning hot. Fan it into flames, that gift of God. Don't be ashamed. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. Use your gifts for God's glory, Timothy. This is 2 Timothy when Paul writes this, right? This is what's happening when Paul writes this letter to Timothy. It's his final letter he writes in Scripture. It's his final letter. What's happening is Nero has burned a good portion of the city of Rome. He's blamed it on the Christians, and now there's a great persecution going out against the Christians, all in the Roman Empire, a great persecution. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is in prison in Rome. He's about to be executed, and he knows it. He knows he's about to see his Maker. And what does he do? He writes to Timothy, his beloved child in the faith. And he says, Timothy, in the midst of what's going on, it doesn't matter. You keep fanning the flames that gift that's in you. Keep preaching the word. Keep staying in the race. Keep fighting the good fight. And Paul writes this to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. That's how Paul finishes his life. Well, there's no better way to finish our life. How did Timothy finish his life? Well, church tradition says that Timothy was martyred in AD 97, martyred for the faith some 45 years after going on the missionary journey with Paul. 45 years later. It seems Timothy finished in similar fashion as Paul, that he fought the good fight, he finished the race, he kept the faith to the end. And my self-assessment question for all of us to ask, and be honest with yourself, are you running the race? Are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you all in for his glory, for whatever he wants? Are you in the honesty of your heart, Lord, I'm all in? Well, if so, for some of you, I have no doubt that means, like Timothy, God wants you to take the gospel to a people who've yet to hear, have yet to hear what he has done for them. And it certainly includes us dying more and more to sin, living, living more for the Lord's glory, loving our spouse, honoring the Lord, how we love our spouse, love our children, love our parents, love our neighbors, love our coworkers, how that we reflect Jesus and we point people to Jesus. And for those of you who would say, yeah, I am all in, I am surrendered to the Lord, amen, praise the Lord, keep keeping on, keep fighting the good fight. Here's an Elizabeth Elliot quote. Boom, maybe not. There we go. She says this, Elizabeth Elliot, if my life is surrendered to God, all is well. Let me not grab it back as though it were in peril in his hand, but would be safer in mine. If you're all in, keep keeping on. Don't grab your life back. Keep it surrendered to God. And for those of you who have trusted in Christ as Savior, but you've never really fully surrendered to him, or maybe you at one time were all in, and life's hardships, life's disappointments, you find yourself now, yeah, I got one foot in, I'm lukewarm. I'm not really running the race like the Lord would have me. The solution is simple. Confess that to the Lord. Repent. Change your mind. And surrender your life to him. That's the solution. Get back in the race. And I'd say this. Commit right now. If that's where you are, commit right now to spend time daily with God in his word, hearing from him, and surround yourself with the people of God who point you to him. And whatever you hear from him, whatever he reveals to you through his word or through his people in accordance with his word, trust him. Just trust him. And act on it. Trust him and obey whatever he tells you. And you will see your life change dramatically. You will see him. You'll see that you come to know him more and more. You know his faithfulness more and more. You know his goodness more and more. You know his power more and more. It's a simple solution. And for those of you here who have never come to a place where you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot save yourself from the consequences of your sin, eternal separation from God. You cannot remedy that chasm, that separation from God in yourself. I don't care if you come to church every Sunday. You give all your money to this church or anywhere, or to the poor or whatever. Give all your money. Come to church every Sunday. That's not going to do it, because we are sinners and there's a consequence for our sin, and it's separation from God. And there's only one Savior, and it's not you and it's not me. There's only one who can save you from the consequences of your sin, and that's Jesus. And God loves you so much that he doesn't want you separated from him, doesn't want me separated from him. He loves me so much, he loves us so much, he did something about it. He said, I'm going to pay for your sins myself. And he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you and me. And he rose again, and God says, whoever puts their faith in Jesus, whoever calls upon him as Lord and Savior, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be restored back to God immediately, and it will last for an eternity. That's the great news of the gospel right there. You cannot save yourself. You need Jesus. He's the only Savior. I called upon the Lord 45 years ago as my Savior. I was 20 years old. Best decision I've ever made in life. And I'll tell you one thing about God, walking with him for 45 years. He is faithful always. Don't know him, if you have never trusted in him, do so today in the quietness of your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it. And I know that you are the only Savior, that Jesus died for my sins. I know he's alive. He is God in the flesh. And I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I invite you in. You make that decision. It's for by God's grace are you saved through faith, through trusting in him, not of yourselves. Not of any good works that we can do. So nobody can boast before God and say, look what I've done. Because the only thing I've done is make a mess of it. If you've never trusted in Jesus, do so today. Let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could gather. And Lord, thank you for being the great and wonderful, awesome God you are. Thank you for loving us so, so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us life in him and redeeming us from the pit of hell. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, for all of us, that we would be all in for you, surrender to you. And when we get off track, Lord, that we would be quick to repent and come back and resurrender and just to commit our lives again to you. And Lord, thank you that even when we get off track, you hold on to us, that you are the one always faithful. And Lord, I pray that from this body, you would call many more to take the gospel to those who have yet to hear how much you love them and what you've done for them. Thank you again. We love you. We worship you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.